DBHDD is urging Georgians to store and lock away all medications to prevent theft and keep them away from children and pets. Old medications can be disposed of at Dropbox locations. Dropbox locations can be found at opioidresponse.info.
Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. On this podcast, we feature the latest reports from the GPB News team. You can send us feedback or story tips to georgiatoday@gpb.org. Today is Friday, February 28th. I'm Orlando Montoya. On today's episode, a pause on federal programs by the Trump administration could have big effects. Brian Kemp continues to follow through on his promise for tort reform. And Georgia music legends R.E.M. reunite briefly at the 40 Watt Club in Athens. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. Several Social Security Administration regional offices in Georgia are slated for closure after Trump administration budget cuts. GPB's Sarah Callis explains.
The Department of Government Efficiency has terminated leases for five of Georgia's 34 Social Security offices. Offices in Brunswick, Gainesville, Columbus, Vidalia, and Thomasville will close, according to the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, website. The department claims the closure will save the federal government hundreds of thousands of dollars. Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock condemned the closures, saying they will make it harder for seniors to access services they need. Physical Social Security offices serve as a point of contact for seniors and others using the service. Georgia has lost the most locations of any state so far. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
Among the federal programs on pause in the new Trump administration is the effort to transition the nation's school buses from fossil fuels to electricity. GPB's Grant Blankenship is here to talk about what that means for Georgia schools and business. Hey, good afternoon, Grant.
Hey, good afternoon, Orlando.
Well, first of all, tell me more about these federal programs for electric school buses. When did they come about and what kind of funding are we talking about?
So most of what we're talking about is $5 billion set aside during the Biden administration to be spent through 2026. That's mostly through the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean School Bus Program, funded through the bipartisan infrastructure law.
So bipartisan infrastructure law. How did the schools get this money exactly?
Well, local school districts had to apply for it. And the winners, in this case, are all over the state. In Clayton County, they've been waiting for over $20 million for some 50 buses. Here in Bibb County, where I live in Middle Georgia, they're waiting for just over $6 million to be freed up.
And so I'm guessing that when Trump took office, that's when the money was stalled, along with other spending.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, there's officially a 90-day pause for review that began on Inauguration Day. And according to data kept by the Environmental Protection Agency, it looks like there's something like 320 electric school buses total across Georgia districts that are just, you know, on standby, that districts are waiting to buy.
And so big picture, what are some of the reasons why these buses are important for addressing climate change?
Well, you know, it's about those carbon dioxide emissions, right, which are warming the planet. And so these buses that the schools are waiting for in Georgia would keep as much as 79,000 tons of carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere over their lifespan compared to the diesel buses that you're used to.
So that's what's in it for the climate and for Georgia schools. But there's a business angle on this story as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you probably know Bluebird buses. You probably have ridden on one at some point. They're based in Fort Valley in Middle Georgia, and they're one of three manufacturers of electric school buses in the country. And the way these grant programs work, Bluebird helped a ton of school districts across the country with their grant proposals. And so Bluebird is technically the grantee in places like Oklahoma and Texas. During their recent earnings call, the now former CEO, Phil Horlock, reminded investors that the Federal Department of Energy had also agreed to shoulder half the cost of Bluebird's new electric bus production facility so they can meet this new demand.
Per the president's executive order, this grant funding is presently paused, although we are confident it will proceed following review. As a reminder, this project adds 400 well-paying American jobs, with clean buses built by a century-old American company located in Middle Georgia, providing our children with health and safety benefits of clean air.
So does that mean that this new production line is idle?
No, actually. I mean, if there is good news for Blue Bird, it's that they're still working through a backlog of orders dating back to about a year ago for these electric buses. So work's still going on there. But Horlock told investors by about 6 months from now, Blue Bird's going to be looking for new orders.
Okay, so what is the EPA saying about all of this?
So I asked them about the status of the bus grants this week, and what I got was a one-sentence response via email, and it said, EPA worked expeditiously to enable payment accounts for grant recipients, so funding is now accessible to all recipients.
So that means things are moving?
It's not clear at all, actually. So far, no one I've spoken to from the ground level can confirm that from their end that they have access to their grant money. And when I asked EPA some follow-up questions about this statement, I got no response.
So it sounds like we'll just have to wait and stay tuned for the federal government to give us a definitive answer. Thanks very much, Grant, for the update.
Yeah, thank you for the time.
Moves by the Trump administration to dismantle the U.S. Agency for International Development have led to the cancellation of $12 million in supply contracts for a Georgia company. The contracts have been terminated for Manna Nutrition, a nonprofit that makes peanut butter-based food for severely malnourished children. Manna's co-founder Mark Moore says that's 90% of their business.
We're a nonprofit, so we're not looking to make money. But we do really love our jobs, and we have 130 of us working at Manna who, it is our livelihood, but more than that, it's our passion to do it.
Manna's manufacturing plant is located in Fitzgerald, Georgia, in the southern part of the state. The second part of Governor Brian Kemp's priority legislation this session to limit lawsuits passed the state Senate yesterday with unanimous support. Senate Bill 69 requires third-party entities that invest in litigation to register with the Department of Banking and Finance and bans foreign adversaries and governments from investing in litigation. It also limits how much litigation financiers can use to influence civil litigation proceedings and the people involved. Tybee Island City Council voted last night to spend more than $200,000 on security measures for Orange Crush this year. This after residents expressed safety concerns about the spring break event in previous years. City Manager Brett Bell.
This is a significant cost to Tybee Island that's not included in the 2025 budget. We do believe strongly that these measures are needed. It worked last year. We feel like it's needed again.
About two-thirds of the money would be spent on barricades and fencing, ensuring drivers keep moving to avoid gridlock and not parking on private property. The event is scheduled to take place on Tybee Island on Easter weekend. Georgia Supreme Court justices have unanimously elected a new top judge. Presiding Justice Nels Petersen is set to become the state's Supreme Court Chief Justice on April 1st. That's according to a news release from the court yesterday. He'll succeed Chief Justice Michael Boggs, who announced earlier this week that he plans to step down at the end of March. Governor Brian Kemp will appoint a new justice to replace Boggs on the court. Chief justices serve as the voice of the court and the state's entire judiciary and preside over the high court's deliberations. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says they've completed various types of debris removal in six Georgia counties following damage caused by Hurricane Helene in September. The Corps of Engineers says they have removed more than 2,800,000 cubic yards of downed trees, branches, and other vegetative debris in Brooks, Montgomery, Lowndes, Candler, Lawrence, and McIntosh counties. The Corps of Engineers says they have an overall goal of clearing 3.1 million cubic yards of debris within 10 Georgia counties, and 108 civilian personnel and one military member are actively working towards the mission. A new report finds Atlanta's first-ever e-bike rebate program has decreased the amount participants drive to work or school by 40%. GPB's Amanda Andrews has more.
The program was popular, with over 11,000 applicants, but the Atlanta Regional Commission only had funding for about 600 e-bike rebates. Reports show over 80% of recipients chosen through a random lottery were low-income households. Bennett Foster works on mobility services for the Atlanta Regional Commission. He says rebate recipients tell him they're saving money on gas.
You know, half of all trips that we take in the region are less than 3 miles. And the purpose of these e-bikes was to gobble up those short trips and essentially replace those car trips with the e-bike, and that's exactly what it's doing.
The program partnered with 12 local bike shops to sell and repair the e-bikes, generating $1.2 million in bike sales. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
The Academy Awards are Sunday evening, and this year no one film or actor seems to have a lock on the win. GPB's Christy York Wooten breaks down the Oscar nominees and favorites with Atlanta movie expert Stephen Brown.
Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you so much, Christy. It's an honor.
Let's start with Best Picture.
Most people have seen Wicked because that's so popular, but a lot of these movies are sort of topical or interesting or maybe straight out of the headlines type issues. Emilia Perez went from leading to Anora being the one that was leading. And then as of the Screen Actors Awards, Conclave was the winner there. So there's definitely now a feeling that Anora or Conclave could be.
Yeah, it feels like there could be some upsets or a wild card that jumps in there. I know that there was a lot of talk about The Brutalist. And I had a sort of a mixed reaction, some beautiful elements to that film, but also felt a little bloated to me personally. I thought it was going to be about architecture altogether, but nope. Especially someone who is from Atlanta and knows John Portman, who kind of was a brutalist and a modernist in his own right with all his concrete buildings in downtown Atlanta, but also a complete unknown. And do you think there's any chance there that biopic about Bob Dylan starring Timothée Chalamet can make it all the way to Best Picture?
I do feel it could. There is definitely a notion in Oscar races that it's all about timing. The Best Actor, throughout the entire season, Adrian Brody has been the leading contender and award winner for The Brutalist. However, this week we've had a little shocker because the Screen Actors Guild just anointed Timothée Chalamet for playing Bob Dylan in The Complete Unknown. So that shook up the race a little bit. I think come Oscar night, Sunday night, you could see it go either way.
Demi Moore won at the Golden Globes and has been kind of a favored actress to win this year. What do you think?
Absolutely. So Demi Moore has the body of work, but she was also in a body horror movie, The Substance, which is a little grisly and gross for some people's tastes. However, I believe that many Academy voters aren't even watching the movie. They realize that she's someone who's gone unrecognized. She's given great speeches. However, if they have seen the movie, it's really good. There is another actress, Fernanda Torres, who's in I'm Still Here. Mikey Madison in Anora could also be a dark horse contender. She won at BAFTA.
We've got also Cynthia Erivo in that category.
You know, she's spectacular. In a different year, she would have a really huge shot. I think the fact that the Wicked movies have been divided in two has sort of the Lord of the Rings effect.
All right, actress in a supporting role.
This race has gone for Zoe Saldana and Emilia Perez nearly every single time. And so I think Zoe Saldana has been seen as somebody who did a great job in Avatar movies and Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and they hadn't seen her sing and dance and speak Spanish and do all the things that she does in Emilia Perez. So I think a lot of people will reward her for that.
You know, I really want to talk about Isabel Rossellini for a minute. Her facial expressions and everything were just incredible in Conclave. She's kind of my secret favorite. Let's talk about the actor in supporting role.
Almost every awards precursor that's happened so far has gone for Kieran Culkin, who plays one of the two mismatched cousins on the trip in A Real Pain. I think if there were any strange upset, it could be Edward Norton, who plays Pete Seeger in A Complete Unknown.
This was just a very sweet turn for him.
It was a sweeter, gentler side of Edward Norton that we think of as Fight Club and American History X.
Stephen Brown, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Christy.
And you can see their complete picks at gpb.org. Georgia music legends R.E.M. reunited briefly last night at the famed Athens nightclub, the 40 Watt. All four members of the band, Peter Buck, Bill Berry, Mike Mills, and Michael Stipe, shocked an audience there to see an R.E.M. tribute band helmed by actor-musicians Michael Shannon and Jason Nardesi. They performed their 1984 classic, Pretty Persuasion. Before last night, the group had performed in public only once since 2008. They played together at their introduction into the Songwriters Hall of Fame last year in June. They were all together but did not perform at a Shannon and Nardesi tribute at the 40 Watt last year in February. Their appearances give fans hope that the disbanded group one day might not be disbanded. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. And that'll also do it for the week here on Georgia Today. Yes, we have all reached the weekend. Before I get there, I'd like you to hit subscribe on this podcast. We always remind you to do that so you stay current with us in your feed. If you have feedback, send that to us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. And as always, go to gpb.org/news to learn more about Georgia news. I'm Orlando Montoya. I'll be back again on Monday to talk with you next week.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.